Sadducees. They love to go right up to the front, or they like to be standing in the prominent places that they would be heard. And on the street corners, there were certain times of the day that the Jews would pray, usually three times a day, in the morning, noon, and afternoon. They had a number of prayers that they would recite. They had what was called the Shema in Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That was a prayer that they would recite daily. William Barclay, the theologian, he also lists another set of prayers that they would pray, known as the 18. 18 various prayers for different events and such, or different occurrences, but they would pray all 18 at one time, the same thing over and over again. So they would pray all 18 in the morning, and again at noon, and again in the evening. They would do it on the street corners, another common place where they would pray, because it was they were showing themselves to be that they were on their way to the temple. They were going to go pray in the temple, and yet they couldn't wait to get there. So they would stand on the street corners and do these great elaborate prayers in front of the people. Jesus says, "So that they may be seen by men." It was all for show. There was no genuineness to their praying. They weren't desiring that their prayers would be reaching the ears of the Lord. They were desiring to put on a show for everybody that was their audience. When you pray, you have only one audience, and that's the Lord. You don't pray to try to see how well you can lead others in prayer, or how they're going to regard your prayer. You pray from the heart. And when you pray, and as we're standing up here and praying, just to be honest with you, when we stand up here and pray, we're trying to cut you all out in one sense, so that our prayer is indeed collective, but it's just praying to the Lord and not praying before you. And that should be the way any public praying is done, because it's an intimate thing that you do between you and the Lord. Now, yes, you lead people in prayer, and that's a great thing. That's what we do here. And it's a privilege to do so. But it must not become a show. It must not become a spectacle of how well you can do it and how well people will come up and pat you on the back to say, "Wow, that was a great prayer." That's what the religious leaders were after, the praise of men. And Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." Their reward is the praise of men. That's what they desire. That's what they're getting. But there is no praise given from the Lord to them. It's all for show. It's pretentious. And yet, that's what they delighted in. They delighted in the praise of men more so than the praise of God. So Jesus says, you don't pray like they do. Their prayers don't even reach the ears of the Lord, because it's not aimed at Him to begin with. It's not desiring to get to Him. They're hypocrites. It's all a spectacle. Nothing more. But Jesus goes on to say this, "But you disciples, when you pray, go into your inner room. Close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret." This is praying that pleases God. We understand how not to pray. We don't pray like the hypocrites. We don't pray before people. We don't pray before people in order to be seen or impress them so they can see how righteous we are. But this is praying that pleases God. When you pray, you go into the inner room. You close the door. And you pray to your Father. Now, what's he getting at? When you pray privately, there's no way you can put on a show for anybody. Your pride's not going to be lifted up when you're praying in private, because there's only one audience, and it's just you and the Lord. Nobody to impress, because God already knows your heart. He knows if you're genuine or you're not. The desire of praying, the intent of praying, should be to commune with Him, fellowship with Him. And when you're in private, that's all you can do. You go into your inner room, you close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. It's only the eyes of the heart that can see the Father. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now we're not told what kind of reward there is, nothing like that, we don't know. But what we can come to an understanding of at least is that whatever the reward is, it goes along with the blessing of God with you. That His presence is with you. He's hearing your prayer. He's acting on your behalf according to His will, by the way. But that is reward enough, knowing that God is looking upon you and your prayer that is being offered with favor. That should be blessing enough. That should be motivation enough for us, or encouragement enough, in order to desire to pray, knowing that God is pleased with us, that we are just desiring to communicate with Him. Sincere praying is praying with the intent to fellowship with God only. When we pray, He's the object of our prayer. He's the audience of our praying. And if we pray privately, which you shouldn't be praying publicly unless you are praying privately. When you're praying privately, you know that you are desirous to do it in order to please God. If you're only doing it publicly, then you run into the danger of only doing it to impress someone. It guards against pride, praying in private. And it prepares us to pray before other people. If all you do is pray before people, then it's going to come a very great danger to you of just doing it like they did. You could most likely guarantee that these Pharisees and Sadducees were not praying privately, genuinely. But one thing to point out here is, again, the Lord, as He is telling the people this, go into your inner room, close the door and all that, He's not saying that to pray publicly is wrong. He's not condemning public prayer. Let's just point that out. Jesus Himself prayed publicly in John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42, when He was at the tomb of Lazarus. He prayed before the people. You have the Apostle Paul in Acts 27, verse 35, who is praying before the people. Nehemiah 9, you have the religious leaders that are praying before the people. You have Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 22 to 53, who's praying before the assembly. The Scriptures don't condemn praying publicly, and it's good to do so. It's what we do all the time here at the church. But it should never turn into a spectacle. It should never turn into just an attraction. It should always be sincere from the heart. Understanding the privilege that you have in order to pray. You realize that this is a privilege. This is a great blessing that you have, that you can pray to the God of glory, the Creator of all things, the One who created it, the One who sustains it. You have direct access to Him, to pray directly to Him. Praying is a privilege. We should look at it as such. Because if we keep that in our minds and we keep that at the forefront, this is a privilege that God has given me, then this is going to help keep you in check that you don't do it to try to impress anyone. It's going to help keep you grounded in the fact of, I'm communicating with my Lord. I'm fellowshipping with my Lord. This is what pleases God. Prayer that is intent on pleasing Him, fellowshipping with Him. He goes on to say this, and when you're praying, Do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. This is something that is common among the Gentiles, and somehow or other, at some point rather, the Jews started implementing this into their prayer life as well. They thought if they had these long drawn out prayers that God would hear. They thought that was the condition. My prayer has to be long, that God would hear it. That's nonsense. When you pray, you don't just pull things in order to fill time. You don't just use empty words or empty repetition. It's interesting in the Greek, when he uses this word, meaningless repetition, the Greek word itself has no definition. It's babbling. That's all it is. The Gentiles, it was common among the pagans to use that ecstatic speech and just babble. And they thought if they were babbling and they would do this for a long period of time, that whatever God that they were praying to would eventually hear them. You see an example of this in 1 Kings chapter 18 when you have the 400 prophets of Baal. The scripture tells us that they prayed from morning until noon and they were crying out this whole time, O Baal, hear us. On and on and on and on and on. It's meaningless. It's empty. But then it was common among the pagans as well, again, to use that ecstatic speech. And the Lord here condemns that kind of praying. You don't use meaningless repetition. You don't use empty words. Whether your prayer is long or short, it's the attitude of your prayer that matters. You know, if you look in the Psalms, for example, the Psalms are full of prayers. This is what they are. You have some that are really long, some that are really short. But they were genuine prayers from the heart of the psalmist to the Lord. They don't have to be long, just so that they'll be heard. They got to be genuine. They got to be from the heart. A.W. Pink says this, prayer is not so much an act as it is an attitude. An attitude of dependency upon God. This is one thing that we take exception with when we come to the charismatic churches today. Because what they're doing is babbling. Ecstatic speech, filling in time. There's no intelligible words being spoken here. Whenever you pray, you use intelligible words to speak to your Lord. Whenever you see anybody praying in the Scripture, what is it that they're praying? They're praying from their language, clear, direct, and heartfelt prayers to the Lord. There's no ecstatic speech in the Scriptures. It's not a prayer language. When you pray, does God speak to you that way? Let's just ask that question. Does God babble to you and hope that you can figure it out? Not at all. When God speaks, He uses clear language to communicate to you. Why on earth would we use babbling to communicate with Him? Clear praying. Direct praying. That's how we are to pray. Now, something else to say here. He's not condemning repetition. Just meaningless repetition. You know, He doesn't desire us just to come one time before His throne of grace, pray this one thing, and then say, well, I can't repeat it again, so I hope you got it this time. Not at all. Our Lord invites us to come, and to come boldly, and to come shamelessly before His throne, and let our request be made known to Him. Our Lord Jesus prayed 3 times in the garden the same prayer. Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but Your will be done. Paul prayed 3 times, as he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, to have that thorn in the flesh removed from him. Praying the same thing or the same request a number of times is not being condemned here. And in fact, what Jesus will say to us in Luke chapter 11 will give us more clarity. If you will turn there with me, Luke chapter 11, Beginning of verse 5, I love this passage. It's a wonderful passage. It should be a great encouragement to us. In verse 5 of Luke 11, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now, he gives this illustration here to help teach us of what kind of prayer he delights in. He says, okay, you got this friend. He comes to you at midnight, and he seeks 3 loaves, which is about the size of a biscuit, a loaf about the size of a biscuit. So basically, he's coming desiring 3 biscuits at midnight. You're already in bed. You're already asleep. The kids are done asleep. He starts banging on the door. I need 3 loaves. And then you reply, it's midnight. You need to get out of here. I ain't getting up and giving you anything. And the scripture tells us though, but because of his persistence, the man will get up. He'll give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, seek, and knock. Now this word here in the Greek for persistence means because of his shamelessness. Because of the man's shamelessness and continuing to beat on the door, asking for this request, the man will get up and give him whatever he needs. So, Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. He's saying, this is how I want you to pray. I want you to beat down the doors of heaven. I want you to come shamelessly before the throne of grace and let your request be made known. You know, we tend to think sometimes, well, I don't want to bother God. You know, he's got so much going on, and this is just some little petty thing. The guy in the story only wanted 3 biscuits. 3 biscuits. It's not a life and death thing, but it was something that he needed. And the Lord tells you, when you pray, you don't use empty words, you don't use meaningless repetition, you don't use any of that, but pray from your heart, let him know what you need. It's not that you're giving him new information because the Lord knows all things. And Jesus will go on to say in Matthew 6, for the Lord knows what you have need of, but the Lord has also ordained the fact that you come before him and you let him know. You come and you ask. If you look in James chapter 4, verse 2, he says, you don't have because you didn't ask. The Lord wants you to come and be persistent in coming. Let your request be made known to him. You're not giving him any new information, but you're humbling yourself before the Almighty and seeking dependence upon him, seeking his help. But when you just fill in space, you're just filling in time, just so you think, because Lord, I've prayed this long prayer, surely you're gonna grant this to me. That's nonsense. The length of the prayer is not in view. It's the attitude of the prayer that matters. So when you pray from your heart. Because he knows what's on your heart anyway, right? You're not hiding anything from him. He knows what your struggle is. He knows what pain you're going through. He knows what your desires are. And we have a tendency, too, to skip out on praying because, well, I don't want to pray for me. I think that kind of selfish, praying for me, let me just pray for everybody else. The Lord says, you come, you pray, you come boldly before the throne of grace. Let your requests be made known to him. Let your supplications be made known to him. Is it wrong to pray for yourself? Well, no. Because there's a number of reasons why we could look and say it is vital that you pray for yourself. It is vital that you pray for yourself that you will not fall into temptation. One writer said that the only way that we can mortify the flesh is through prayer. God, keep me. God, hold me close to you and not let me stumble. That's praying for yourself, right? But it's needed that you don't fall into sin. And we, by all means, all of us should be praying that. None of us here are above falling into sin. That's why we have to continually pray, Lord, keep me. When you pray as well for what you're going through, you got a number of different things that is happening in your life, struggles and pains. You're not going to pray to Him when you're going through things like that? Of course you should. Because again, you're showing your dependence on Him. Every moment of our lives is dependent upon His grace to get us through. So you should be praying that. Lord, you know what I'm going through. This is the situation. You know what this is going on and this is going on. Father, give me your grace. Give me strength that I can endure. You know, a lot of times we want to just pray and say, Lord, take this from me. Take this out of the way. But as what Paul was telling us earlier in Psalm 11, as he was quoting Spurgeon was saying that God uses these sufferings and trials to refine you. You know, Job says in Job 23, the Lord performs that which is appointed for me. We're told to count it all joy because our faith grows during times of struggles and trials. So what we ought to be praying instead of, Lord, get this away from me because this is unpleasant, perhaps we should be praying, Lord, give me strength to endure this battle. Give me strength that I glorify you as I endure this battle. Refine me. Teach me. Let this situation that I'm going through be a light to somebody else or an encouragement to them. You know, we get all upset because God doesn't deliver us from certain things because we prayed for it. As if we pray for it, God's supposed to do it. God is not our servant. We're His. So whatever God decides to do is His will, and it's for our good, though we may not see it at the time. So how's prayer going to change that? If God already has this in mind that He's going to do this, you know, a lot of times when we pray, you know, God may not move in our favor to deliver us. But when we do pray and we're showing our love and devotion to Him, regardless of what it is, we're showing a commitment to Him, a lot of times we change in the praying. And you see that. Remember a few weeks ago we were going through Psalm 13. Psalm of David, right? David begins the psalm, how long are you going to forget me? How long are you going to hide your face from me? But then you get to the end of the psalm, he says, I'm going to sing unto you because you dealt bountifully with me. This is only 6 verses. His situation didn't change. He's still going through what he's going through. But he was changed as he brought himself from focusing on the situation or whatever the situation was that he was going through. And now he turned his gaze toward the Holy One. And now he received comfort. He was filled with the joy of the Lord as he looked unto Him. And now he's saying, you dealt bountifully with me. I'm going to sing unto you. Prayer is a means that we let the Lord know what's going on in our lives and so forth. But prayer also changes you because it lifts your heart and it turns your heart from your situation and turns it unto Him. So yeah, as you're going through your struggles, you should be praying. Lord, I don't understand this, but let me glorify you in this. Praying those prayers for yourself is vital. Praying for other believers. You know, Paul requested prayer for himself, right? He prays to the Ephesians, pray for me. We should be praying for one another. That should be a daily, that should be part of our praying unto the Lord. Paul asked for prayers from the churches. He says to the churches, I've kept you in prayer. We pray for other believers. We pray that the Lord would work mightily in the lives of other believers. That the Lord will work in their hearts or work in their situations to help them to endure. Give them strength, give them comfort. There is so much to say of prayer and how vital it is for you. You don't have somebody pray for you necessarily. You, being a child of God, can pray also to the Lord. Is it wrong to ask people to pray? No. But you yourself can do it. Well, I'm not good at praying. That don't mean anything. If it's genuine, God hears your prayer. You know, one of the things I like to do is I like to have other people pray, especially when they're not expecting it. Because then they have no time to sit and ponder over in their mind what it is they're going to say. They have to be right on the spot. And it's those prayers that are more genuine than others. You have this privilege of praying to your Father. This is the privilege that you've been granted in Christ Jesus. He is our mediator. He is your Lord. He is your mediator. And you can pray to the Father. Public praying isn't a bad thing. In fact, when you get into verse 9, when he begins the Lord's Prayer, as some call it, we should be calling it the disciples' prayer. But he says, Our Father. So obviously he is anticipating whoever's leading this prayer is going to be praying on behalf of others. So public praying isn't bad. It's a privilege to do it. And you should be willing to do it when it's asked of you. When we pray, we need to realize as well that God is the object of the prayer. You are praying in the Spirit through the mediating work of our Lord Jesus Christ to the Father. That's who you are addressing, is the Father. You're praying in Jesus' name, but you're addressing the Father. That's the privilege that Jesus has given us. So what kind of prayer life do you have? Do you not pray at all? Or when you do pray, are you doing it for show? Are you persistent in your prayers? Are you praying genuinely from the heart? Or are you praying what you think you need to because you don't feel like you should be praying for yourself? These are questions that you need to ask yourself. Because you should be praying for yourself, especially from sin. Praying during your time of struggle that God will be glorified in it. Praying for your other believers, your other family members or church members, whatever. You should be praying for others. You should be addressing the Lord with the things that are really on your heart. Being genuine. So examine yourselves. What kind of praying do you do or not do? How do you need to change your praying that it would conform to the will of God? Do you fill in time? Do you feel like they have to be long? They don't. You know, for the Puritans, they would have their time of prayer. And their time of prayer consisted of praying a prayer, reading the Scripture, meditating on the Scripture, and they would finish up their prayer time with the singing of a psalm. That's how they would do it. So as you pray, you're not just trying to fill in words or trying to think of this. Your prayer time consists of reading and meditating on the Scripture and then praying another prayer at the end. As you've read this, this has come to you and you've understood the text. You've understood what it speaks of God to you. Let your prayer life be including the Scripture. The knowledge of God that comes to us lifts our hearts even more, and our praying gets even stronger. Make sure that you're praying, guys. This is your privilege. Let it not be something you do over your food, or let it not be routine prayers. One writer said everybody has a routine prayer that's in their heart, and once they can get rid of it, then they'll really start to pray. Let me close with this quote by Matthew Poole, one of the Puritans. He says, "Wherever we pray, we must take heed that our own ends be right, that the glory of God be our principal end in yielding obedience to His command." What a great quote. Most of our praying consists in giving God praise, not asking Him for things. That's something to point out as well. So let us, if we're not doing these things, let us change them now. Let us pray prayers that are pleasing to our Lord, that are heartfelt and genuine, because that's what the Lord delights in. You have this privilege. Don't let it go to waste. This privilege has been given to you individually, something that we ought to do. Let's stand if you would. Let's pray together. The Heavenly Father, we once again come into Your presence. Father, thank You for this portion of Scripture that we've read this morning. Father, thank You that You guide us in all things, that You guide us in how we ought to pray to You. Father, it is something that You've granted us in Christ Jesus, all of Your children. It's not just for one or another. Father, You've given all of us this privilege. We can come into Your presence at any time with anything that's on our hearts. We pour out our hearts to You, and You invite us to come. Father, that is such an overwhelming thought, that You invite us mere creatures into Your presence. Father, we pray this morning for everyone here, myself included. Father, help us that we continue to seek Your face, that we pray without ceasing, as Your Word says, that we don't just do it at certain times. Father, we do it often. And we should want to do it often, Father. You've entered into a relationship with us, and Father, we are grateful. Father, be with all of us here. Encourage our hearts with Your Word. Teach us by Your Spirit that You've given us, Father, that we will be more faithful unto You. Father, we love You. We thank You for all that You've done for us in Christ Jesus. And it's in His name we ask and pray all these things. And all God's children said, Amen.